Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Emmett County Board of Commissioners meeting. And they're calling in for December 11th, 2023 at 6 o'clock. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coates?
Here.
I'm looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Support.
Motion to approve and support for the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Looking at the consent agenda, looking for a motion for that.
Chair, I move to approve the consent agenda and all items contained therein and authorize the county administrator to sign the attached items on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for the consent agenda. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Next, we have the service agreement.
Public comment?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I skipped that. So, yes, it's time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak at the mic, step forward. Seeing nobody move forward, we'll move on. And now we go to the... Mine says service agreement.
We have the Planning and Zoning 2022 Annual Report. Under appearances?
Oh, yes.
Tammy Dornenberg's here tonight to give us the update.
Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to provide you with the Emmett County Planning and Zoning 2022 Annual Report that was provided to you in your packets. I have a really brief presentation for you. The organization is joined with Planning, Zoning, and Construction Resources. We operate as one department from an external standpoint, but internally we are two separate departments. You can see the staff that we have, amazing team that works together to make sure that our operation functions legally and smoothly for the public. On this slide, you can see the zoning map on the left-hand side, which shows the jurisdictions within which we administer zoning. There are 12 townships that have countywide zoning that we administer for. The other townships have their own zoning. That would be West Traverse, Little Traverse, Pleasant View, and Resort. We do review any zoning text amendments that they have proposed, and then any master plans that any of the townships prepare, they come to us for review and comment. We administer the Planning Commission, which meets monthly, Zoning Board of Appeals, which meets monthly as needed. We administer the zoning for those 12 townships, and then we also enforce the zoning ordinance. We have a full-time soil erosion and sedimentation control officer. Jurisdiction is all of Emmett County, except that the Road Commission and MDOT has their own soil erosion, and then the City of Petoskey has their own soil erosion officer, but we do administer soil erosion within Bay Harbor as well as all of the other municipalities within the county. Anytime someone disturbs earth within 500 feet of a lake, river, or stream, they're required to have a soil erosion permit if it's over 125 square feet, I believe it is. And so she administers that for the county. That would be Nancy Salar. And then we also administer the Sanitary Code Board of Appeals. Nancy is in charge of that as well. And that appeals board meets as needed, typically once a year or twice a year, sometimes a little bit more than that. I did provide you with, in the report, the zoning permits that have been issued for the last 5 years and then by township for the last year, 2022. And you can see our housing numbers. Those are called out. We were at 175 last year, which was down slightly from 2021. I also included the averages 200 per year since 1973, so we're down from that average. 166 over the last 20 years, so we're up slightly from that, and 128 over the last 10 years. So you can see that that's been averaging downward. We do also administer the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority. There's been some recent activity that you've seen with that, and there will likely be more as the state changes their standards and requirements and allows for more projects to be eligible for Brownfield TIF funding. So this is the lots at Lumber Square that we just recently celebrated their groundbreaking, and then we had Michigan Maple Block, which is in the process of having a Brownfield plan completed. And then we also write grants in our department. Right now we're administering a grant that will allow us to provide some educational materials through EGLE, and we will plan to send notices to all of the property owners along the Lake Michigan shoreline and work with the townships that have Lake Michigan shoreline frontage and provide materials on how to stabilize the shoreline without using the conventional methods of riprap and thereby destroying the neighbor's shoreline when people do that. So that's something that we'll be working on this year and next year. And then finally, we work collaboratively with many different organizations as well as the townships that we have zoning for. One thing that I'm quite proud of that was in your report, it's on page 2, is that we were the convening department for working with Michigan Department of Transportation, the Emmett County Road Commission, Bear Creek Township, and to work together toward installing that light at Pickerel Lake Road and US 31. That's been something that we had been working on as a whole group, the whole county and MDOT, for many, many, many years, and finally that was able to be done this year as a result of the collaboration. So that's something I'm really proud of. Also on page 4, there's a little emoji, what can we do? When we review our zoning ordinance, look at our zoning ordinance amendments that have come forward, that's the question I ask. What can we do to make a difference, to make things easier for economic development, for instance, and then the push that we've been seeing is for housing. So I look at that from our perspective as a planning department and zoning department. What can our department do to make a difference within the zoning ordinance and within things that we do? So that's why that little question mark was there, in case you were wondering about that. But I'm here to answer any questions, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Tammy. Any questions for her?
So you see 2023 similar to 2022?
Or? We're down some in our numbers. We have streamlined our processes so that we can administratively approve more. So our Planning Commission is seeing less. We're not really seeing a lot more. We're seeing many storage facilities, a few housing projects, and we're having a lot of inquiries about housing projects. Some are still in the works. Some have been approved but aren't yet starting to develop. So we're hopeful.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Moving on to the administrator's report.
I have a quick update for you tonight. Parks and Recreation had two events over the last weekend, a visit with Santa at the fairgrounds and also a holiday open house up at the lighthouse. They have started work for next year. There's a shot in there of working on some of the campsites, putting new fire pits in. At the airport, we finally got some information. We hope to see our new fire truck delivered in late January or early February. So it's been a long time in the works, and the good news that will come. We will not put any firefighting foam in that until we get the new foam that's PFAS-free. So we will hold off a little bit on that. Hopefully there's going to be some improvements or approvals on that. Did put in here that we have a January 3rd Board of Commissioner meeting. That's at 4:30, and that will be for the election of board chair, selecting who's on committees, the vice chair, and fees and schedules, and the schedule for 24. Jeff Urban gave us a veterans update and the events that they had during Veterans Day. I won't take away from Neil, but they had 753 veterans attend their luncheon, which is a great turnout. That is my report for tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
Just one other thing I forgot under Parks and Recreation. I did get a phone call from the Petoskey Curling Club that currently is looking for a home. So we're going to talk with them potentially of putting up one sheet, they call it, at the fairgrounds if there's a spot for us to do it. They were working it normally down at the sports park, but that's under construction. So we'll see if we can't get curling back in the – they've been slowed since COVID. But
would that be outdoors?
Outdoors, yes. They have all the equipment. They're just looking for a spot.
Cool. Okay, now it's time for the public hearing for 2023 budget amendment. Let's have a motion to open public hearing.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are open to public hearing.
We'll have Pam start off and give us an update on the amendments for 2023.
All right. So going through our budget, taking a look, it looks like our revenues are going to increase about 14%. And some of the reasonings for these increases in the revenues have to do with property tax, where we had that come in at 4% is what we budgeted, came in at 8.1. We have an increase in interest income. It's about $880,000. So, to the good. And one of the things, I mean, over the last few years, as we all know, interest income has been way down. We budgeted, I believe, $16,000, and it ended up coming in this high. So,
wow.
That's a good thing. state revenue sharing versus county revenue sharing. So this is our last year to receive county revenue sharing funds, and that amount came in at about $500,000. We also are now starting to receive, because the state's fiscal year starts 10-1, that was an additional $375,000 to our revenue. So, and going forward, those are the funds that we will receive. We will not have a separate fund now for the county revenue sharing because it has all been spent. And we were, again, one of the last counties to receive the state revenue sharing.
County.
Or county revenue sharing, yes. And then airport CARES funding, this is the last dollar amount that we're going to get. That was $1.1 million for CARES Fund 2 for the airport. And those dollars have been set aside for the capital for the airport for next year. And then just a couple other little increases. We had the sheriff's office grant funding came in at about $128,000 over budget. Construction resources permits were up about $295,000 from budget. And then airport fuel sales, hangar leases, $265,000 increase. And then we had insurance claims of $156,000. So we also had expenditures for that one. But that's what primarily brings up that 14% increase in our revenues for the 23 year that we're not budgeting for. And then for expenditures, there was an 8% decrease. And included in there, we had about $245,000 reduction in wages and benefits, and that's from staff leaving or changing their benefit package. So, and we always have that savings because it's a continual goes around and around. People come, people go, so we always have those dollars. Also, we had almost $1.5 million in capital that was moved to the 24 budget because it did not come in 23. Yes, fire truck is the biggest part of that. And again, anything at the airport is paid by those CARES fund dollars, and that has all been set aside in signed fund balance for their use. And then we had a reduction in conference costs of about $91,000. supplies, maintenance, repair, utilities, about 184, and then a reduction outside civil council of about 392, and these refer the airport and different areas like that. Can you open them all? Yes, and these dollars are carried forward to the next year. So, because we're going to need those in the next preceding year. When we take a look at our fund balance for general fund, we are going to have about a 67% unassigned fund balance, which is $18 million. We have set aside right now $7.7 million for capital for future needs. And of that $7.7 million, almost $2 million is for the airport from CARES funding. And then we also have what you call committed fund balance, which that's part of that is the land sale. So anytime we sell land, that goes into a special fund that's only can be spent by the board. And then we also have a little bit of money in there for the sheriff improvement of $92,000. And then we have another one, it's called non-spendable, and that's $1.3 million. And that is your inventory, prepaid accounts payable that we would pay in 23 for 24. And then we have what we call advances to other funds. This is the loan that we have with DPW. So that gets reduced every year. They pay about almost $12,000 a month for that. And then when you go on to Tame and Fuel, go down to like page 3, please. Okay, so Parks and Rec. I wanted to make this very apparent that this is really good from a department head. Revenues increased 1.44% and expenditures decreased less than 1%. So their budget was very good. Was right on. And you can kind of see also included in this budget is the $1.5 million that we received from Enbridge for that land swap. So those funds will only be used at the Lighthouse and at Headlands for those projects, and it's for capital needs only. It will not go into other parks or anything like that. Bay Bluffs, we have finally spent the $1 million bond. We are now into using their millage money. And of that millage money for this year, we have spent about $279,000. So next year, there's a lot of projects that are in the works for some of that. And that puts that fund balance at $1.1 million. But there will be a lot of money spent next year for Bay Bluffs. And really, that's all I have on the general or on the budget amendment. If you take a look at the resolution and at the actual summary that I've included in your packet, this summary is for general fund, and this goes through more detail. I'm not going to go through all of this, but I've kind of laid it out so that you can see where all those differences come in. And I think this is a very good tool for that. I've also included on the summary the 23 adopted budget, or the, I'm sorry, final budget, along with the, that's going to be in 24, never mind. So that's what this is, sorry.
Closeout of 23.
Yes, this is the closeout of 23. But the budget resolution will have all the different funds in it, and this is what we're asking for approval for the 23 budget. And that will go once we get back into open session from the or from the public hearing, sorry. And that's all I have for 23. Do you have any questions on the 23 budget?
Does anybody have any questions for Pam?
How much is Bay Bluff bringing annually?
The millage? I believe it's about 800,000, almost 900. But I know that there's going to be a lot of money that goes out this next year.
Yeah. And you remember we did that capital improvement plan, and we did the study of that, and that's what we based that millage on, was those capital needs over the next 10 years.
Yep.
And you'll see that number start to grow.
Any other comments, questions, discussion? We're going to we're going to open it up to public comments. Any public comment wishing to talk about the budget for 2023? Seeing nobody step up, let's have a motion to close the public hearing.
I move we close the public hearing and go back in the open session.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Come on, computer. So, could we have somebody read the motion?
I can do that. I've got it here. Move that the board approve the attached Emmett County 2023 amended budget resolution dated December 11th, 2023. In its entirety, with the following being excerpts from the resolution. Total revenue of $32,237,251. Total expenditures of $27,592,932. Estimated fund balance on December 31, 2023 of $27,901,936.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have the public hearing for 2024 proposed budget. Could we have a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 We are in public open public hearing. Take it away, Pam.
All right. Taylor, if you can open the memo, please. So we'll go through the 24 budget. What we're looking at is revenues of $30,749,924, total expenditures including capital, $33,007,269, with the use of fund balance of $2,257,345. Included in this budget is an assumption of a 4% increase in taxable values. And I think going forward, we're going to have to be a little bit more cautious. I think eventually that number is going to start dropping again. I think we're just starting to catch up, especially with the last few years between 4.2 and 8.1%. It's been pretty high. And then also included is, again, I talked about the revenue sharing reserve fund. This is 23 was our last year to receive the county portion of it. And now we're going through the state portion. And I've broken down here the three categories in which we're going to receive money. So we have the incentive program, that's $158,000. We have the revenue sharing, which is about $818,000. And then something new that they came out with for this next year is the county revenue sharing for public safety. That has to be spent on public safety only, and that's about almost $29,000. So we will be working with the Sheriff's Department on that. Included in our budget is a 3% raise for all staff. One thing I want to point out is with our steel workers. The steel workers' contract was for 2.25% for this year, and that was all settled before inflation. So we've also included in the budget a 0.75% one-time payment that will happen in February. To give them the 3% like everybody else. And this will be an off-base stipend, so it will not be included in their regular wage going forward. Let's see. The hard cap for health insurance went up 4.1% for 24. We participate in that, and that's probably the highest it's went up in the last probably 6 years, I believe. It's been anywhere between 1% and 3%. So, Tatum, let's move off the memo for now, and I just want to kind of go through general fund, and then we'll come back to the memo. If you can click on the revenue graph, this just shows you the proposed revenues and the areas that they're from, and you can see that property taxes is 62% of our budget. So that's, I think, very important for people to understand, and there are other monies, and if you look around in this, you will see that. You know, we get community and economic development, we have health and welfare, airport improvement grant. So the airport improvement grant is a grant from the federal government that we receive that does updates at the actual airport. So those are grant funds. You know, you can see the airport is at 14% of the budget. So I think this is just a way for you to see a quick glimpse of it. If you can go to the expenditure one too now. So with the expenditures, again, this just shows you the different areas that we have, and that kind of coincides with the sheet that I have here included in your packet that details out each of these departments and areas that you can see where the numbers differ from. But again, this is another way to see the breakout of what our budget is, and I think this is a good visual for our community. So again, if you go back to the summary for the general fund, this is going to give you a better idea of all the differences and breakdowns that are in the general fund portion of this budget. But overall, I think we have a very good budget. We're starting to get more capital items put into our budget, which I think is important because we haven't been doing some of the due diligence that we need to keep our buildings up. And this has allowed us to do some of that. And then if we go back to the memo and go to page 2 for Parks and Rec. So the general fund transfer for Parks and Rec is about $438,000. The revenues are conservative, just not knowing what's going to happen. We have, the budget includes the wage increase and the benefits. We received the $1.5 million from Enbridge. That will all be spent this next year. So that's all part of this. And then I have a breakdown here of the different capital items that we're going to be purchasing through Parks and Rec. This does not include, though, the $1.5 million for the Enbridge money, but that is going to be all spent this next year for improvements.
And that goes to the parking lot?
That we have the parking lots both at the Lighthouse and that at Headlands. We'll do the expansion at Headlands. I think it's 160 spots we're going to add into there, which will be nice because we don't have that parking now. Hopefully that eliminates the people parking off-site and having to walk in a mile. So we're in getting ready to put that one out to bid. We've already bid the Lighthouse project. That will start in the spring also.
Good.
So if you flip to go to page 3, Tatum, of the memo, EMS, again, the 3% wage increase is in here. Their budget is looking good. Another thing to remember is with all these capital items that we're buying, a lot of things are pushed to 24. We expected to get them in 23. We expected to get them in some in 22. And they just keep getting pushed back. So all of those dollars are getting pushed to the 24 budget that we need to spend because of the time frame of when they're coming in. And right now for EMS, they've got about $630,000 in capital needs for this next year. And then we have Friend of the Court. They've also got a little bit of capital in their budget. They have about $20,000 to have carpet replaced. We do get grant funded or reimbursed 66% of this. So this is something that improves our building, and it's not something we have to take out of our own capital needs. And then we're going strong. I'm just going to touch on a couple of these other ones. The American Rescue Plan, the ARPA money. So we are in full force with, I think we may have maybe one more township that we have to pay the $50,000 to. But we're hoping that all of this, that'll be carried forward to the 24 budget, along from 23. But I think there's, we're looking at some $2 million of that for capital too. So, and that is included in your, actually it's $1 million, but there's $2 million that was allocated to the county for that portion. Included in this budget, we have a half-time EMS billing clerk, a half-time veterans clerk, and both of those moved to full-time. And they were grant-funded, correct? And then we have full staffing for seasonal labor. This budget is conservative. Again, you estimate your revenues low, you estimate your expenses high, because you don't know. And a budget is always something that's done at a certain time frame, and it changes daily, as we all know. So with that, are there any questions?
Just a reminder for the public that we went pretty much line by line with each one of the commissioners through this budget. So there was a process that was put in place. Department heads submit their budgets to us. We go through that, then turn around and sit down with you. So this is a quick presentation of something that took 3.5 months to put together. So I want to thank the department heads and the finance staff for putting both the amendment together and this budget. It's quite a process to go through.
Any questions on the 2024 proposed budget?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have one for Pam. Does the 2024 budget have the funds in it to fill any staffing shortages that we might have?
I mean, I don't know that at this point. I know that we discussed adding staff, and what we decided was that we need to try to get through some of our capital needs and not have ongoing costs at this point. Maybe Dave, you can step in.
There was a proposal put together to add additional full-time staff. We've talked with that department that's requested that. It's kind of a carryover between the treasurer's office and finance. We had a discussion about getting the two departments together, looking at that need and determining where that need best fits. And if that's something that we feel is important to add to the budget, then we'll come back with a budget amendment in January after we sit down and go through this process to see where that is. Anytime we add a budget amount of about $95,000, which was what was proposed to move on in perpetuity, that's a big number to add to this budget. So we want to vet that, make sure it is. We do have a nice fund balance in place, but we also, as you all know, have a lot of needs and unknown needs at the present time, but if we deem that's something that's important, we'd be certainly happy to bring that back after we sit down and clarify where that need is.
Any other comments, questions for Pam?
I have one more question. Is Bay Bluffs able to pay any rent now at all, any monthly rent?
No.
Okay.
I think that... we've had the conversation. I know Mr. Mapes sits on one of the boards and hears their presentation. We've done a lot of work. We finished another wing. It's ready to be open. Their challenge, as they've told us multiple times, is staffing. We're ready to see those numbers grow. We have to see those numbers grow. They can't sustain where they are now.
Okay, so we're going to open public comment for this hearing. Anybody wishing to speak on the 2024 proposed budget, step forward. And seeing nobody step forward, could we have a motion to close public hearing?
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are closed in the public hearing. So could we have somebody read the motion for the proposed budget for 2024?
Chair, I move that the board approve the attached Emmett County 2024 budget resolution dated December 11th, 2023, with the following being excerpts from the resolution. total revenue of $30,749,924, total expenditures of $33,007,269, estimated fund balance on December 31st, 2024 of $25,644,591. For 2023, the county may levy the maximum voted tax of 4.85 mils, or the amount as adjusted by the 2024 Headley millage reduction fraction for county operations. 0.5 mils for seniors, 0.6739 mils for ambulance service, and 0.2463 for Bay Bluffs capital millage.
Support.
We have a motion and support. Any discussion? Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Bennett?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next, we have planning and zoning consultant.
Planning and Zoning currently works with Beckett and Rader, and they're looking to extend that as an as-need basis, not to exceed $15,000 per year. They help out in their soil erosion and some of their planning and zoning amendments that they're making and provide assistance to the zoning department.
Could we have somebody read the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board award the bid for planning, zoning, and soil erosion consulting services to Beckett and Rader. I further move to authorize the county administrator to sign a contract covering these consulting services in an amount not to exceed $15,000 per year.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one motion I'd like to offer tonight. I don't know where you want to put that in to the agenda.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to offer this motion. I move to direct the Emmett County Treasurer, Mary Mitchell, to add one full-time employee to her staff starting in January 2024, and that the 2024 budget be amended to accommodate that.
So we have a motion on the floor.
Would we need a motion to amend the agenda if we're going to do that?
We do, don't we?
Yes. You need to add it. You could add it to new business 9, 10, 11, 12.
Would that typically be done at the beginning of the meeting?
When you approve the agenda.
So we've already approved this agenda.
Right.
Certainly add that to the agenda of item if that's the wishes of this board.
Everybody agree? Any disagreement?
Well, we have communication from the treasurer regarding that in our email, and I can read it. So this is the I won't read the whole email, but this is the final paragraph in the conclusion. I'm appreciative of this consideration. I encourage you to move forward with Monday's budget as presented without the position, without this position, with the understanding that it will be revisited early next year with input from Dave, Pam, and I. So I guess maybe I should read more of this, which where it's addressed. I'll just read the email out loud. Last month, this is from our treasurer. Last month, I was informed that there was not money in the budget to allow for any new employees. Since I've been in Dave and Pam's position previously, I respected that answer and told him that if the money was not there, we'd do whatever possible to manage until the money became available. I just left a meeting with Dave Boyer. We agreed to the validity of the needs that this position would fill and that the fact that the budget numbers this week came in better than we had anticipated. So then there was an agreement here to discuss that in January and come up with a plan, which is what Dave just said that they intend to do. So I think we have this covered, and it might be better to leave it to the people who are doing it to come up with the plan and present it to us. I think it would be a...
There hasn't been a second to it right now at this moment.
Yeah, we were just questioning was whether we put it on the agenda for next meeting, and I would say let's let our staff handle that and come up with the proposal that they want to give us, and we can probably expect that in January or early next year, whenever they get to it. I think that might be a better way to handle it rather than direct them without having their input.
Are we going to address the motion or just going to ignore it?
The motion hasn't been seconded yet, so we're under discussion. We probably should wait for a second or let it die. But I appreciate what Matt's saying, and what do you guys want to do? Let it die?
Yes.
Yes. I think we let staff handle it after the new year.
Okay. So we will keep an eye on Dave and Pam in January. Okay, so up next is the CLS service.
Maintenance. Our maintenance department provides our employees with uniforms. Some of these are very small dollar numbers we're showing you tonight, but any agreements that we have out there, we bring these agreements to you for your consideration. But this is for 5 clean uniforms per week for our 10 maintenance staff. As you see, they have a reduction. That's why we go out for RFPs. It's currently $9.10 a week, and it was reduced to $8.28. That's why we go out with these agreements, and that's why we bring them forward to get the best price we have. So this one tonight for you is a 5-year contract for maintenance service for our maintenance staff.
Is this the beginning of the prices starting to fall?
We hope so. And this is the only place you'll probably see it.
Okay, could we have someone read the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that the board approve the agreement with Continental Maintenance Service in the amount of $4,306 per year and authorize the administrator to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Coons?
Yes.
Mr. Ahrens?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr.
Lofbaum? Yes.
Mr. Ginnell?
Yes. And the motion passes. So we have the PA2 agreement.
Yes, this before you tonight is to receive a grant for the Emmett County Recovery Program. As you might recall, we were calling this drug court, but this is the recovery program. The judge is here tonight if there's any questions on this application, but the Northern Michigan Regional Entity is helping provide funding of $147,956 for the operating and to get this recovery court up and running. So they also received another grant for $40,000 from the State Court Administrator's Office. So they have the funding in place to start this program. And they have been meeting probably close to a year on this, so this now has the funding to move it forward. It'll all be grant funded, and it's to keep nonviolent offenders away from the substance abuse programs that they have or challenges that they face, and provide services to help them with that.
Would it be appropriate to have the judge come up and introduce the program?
Good evening. Thank you. I'm Jenny Deegan. I'm the Circuit Court Judge. And so, yeah, I came here if you have any questions. I'm really appreciative of the support that we've received both from the administration but also from the county commissioners for this program. I'm super excited to get it started. And we are planning to start admitting people in January. So, obviously, this grant is important to that happening. But I think that our staff has worked really hard in the last year along with the administration to put together these grants and to take advantage of the money that is available So it's a two-year program. We won't really have a lot of results for you for a couple of years, but we do anticipate that we are going to be bringing in participants fairly quickly, and we're going to keep it small to start, but we would probably anticipate having upwards of maybe 25 participants at full max value, but that, you know, give us some time on that one. So,
thank you. Any questions for the judge?
I have one, Chair. This will probably, I'm just surmising that if you're working with these people in this court, it'll save the other courts money.
Well, we'd like to think. I mean, the whole point is to reduce recidivism, reduce the overall strain on the rest of the court system, because if you've got people coming in certainly at the felony level, and these are high-risk, high-needs folks, and so they're coming in generally with their hands in other court system, either the probate court with children that have been removed or a part of the abuse neglect system, or the district court also, you know, they're going hand in hand. And so, yeah, the hope is that if you can get their substance use under control and get them the what we call the recovery capital in our community, it helps reduce the strain down the road.
Good. Kind of a health multiplier.
Yes, exactly.
Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, yeah, I'm just curious how many people will benefit from, you mentioned that you threw out a number of 25, possibly the first, is that the first year or the first go around?
I mean, that would not be the first year. I think that would be ambitious for us at this particular point. But, you know, ultimately what you would expect is that if it's in full full mode, and I would use Sheboygan County as a good example for us because their community is similar size, similar needs, similar issues, and that program has been up and running for at least, I think, 10 years now. And they operate between 25 to 30 at any given time, and it's a mix. It's both a male and female. So, you know, over the course of time, you would hope that you would be probably consistently looking at about 20 at any given time in a year. I think, to be realistic, could be higher, could be lower, but I think that's probably what they're seeing in Sheboygan County.
Dave.
And what you'll see over the next month or so will be contracts that will come before you for approval funded out of this grant. So you're going to see there's attorney costs, there's Harbor Hall will be doing drug testing. There's a whole process similar to sobriety court. It will be very similar. So you'll see those contracts coming in the very near future.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
I have been preaching for Emmett County to spend public act liquor tax money for years. As we say, I have some of the highest in the NMRE region, and I'm very happy to see this coming forward and that we're using PA2 money to do it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. I was, to take up too much of your time, but I was surprised at the difficulty in getting it started. You know, on paper, it thinks like, okay, you've got this money, you can get going. But it takes a lot, and there's a lot of hurdles to get over. And so, I have to say thank you so much to the administration because they've been incredibly helpful in helping us move this forward. So, yeah, thank you. I'm excited. I'll be excited to come back in another year or so and give you an update as to how things are going.
Yes, we're here to help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we need the motion.
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to move the board approve the Northern Michigan Regional Entity Public Act 2 funding in the amount of $147,956 for the 57th Emmett County Recovery Court and authorize county administrator to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion in several seconds. Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofthouse?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Mates?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. So next we have the office server.
Yes. JABS is the Justice Audio Video Solution hardware that all of our courts use. Part of the requirements of using this is you store all the video and audio. What this proposal is tonight is a storage solution for off-site storage. It was part of the requirement to secure off-site storage. and we're updating all the JAV systems this year, and I think we've got two left to go, and all the courtrooms will be updated, and this is the solution for all four of the courtrooms to do off-site storage, both audio and video.
Okay.
It is a requirement.
Thank you. We're looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board accept the bid proposal for off-site server storage for 45 Drives Limited in the amount of $42,878.24, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel and the administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have Mead and Hunt.
Mead and Hunt, this is a contract that we have with Mead and Hunt for consulting services at the airport. This is actually funded through two different areas, through the Airport Improvement Program and the Passenger Facility Charge Program. This is reimbursed, as I just mentioned, by passengers and facility charges at the airport. They help us with all of our applications and our grant applications. We have this not to exceed $50,000, and that helps us, again, with all of our grant applications that we submit. And Pam was telling you about earlier, that money that comes in.
Okay.
We monitor and make sure that we are compliant with all the standards of the grant.
Mm-hmm. Could we have the motion?
Chair, I move that the board approve the 2023-2024 agreement between the County of Emmett and Mead and Hunt for the AIP/PFC administration up to $50,000 during the 12-month agreement as attached, and authorize the county administrator to sign the same on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And the motion passes. And up next, we have the single source entry.
Yes, we went out. We had a five-year contract and our last security for the front door. That's the staff that monitors the front door when you come in, the machines that are there and the people walking in. We went out for proposal. I received two proposals back. Provide two guards between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., plus any night and meetings that we might have or court that runs over. We spent a lot of time reviewing the proposals that were submitted to us, and the proposals that came in, we would be changing security companies that we currently have. I know that you received a letter from the company. What the current proposal is not what you saw in the letter that was drafted to the commissioners, was stating that their proposal was for a reduced amount of hours. It wasn't for the hours that was required in the bid specification, so their numbers came in. What was presented to you, it showed that there was a reduction, but that's not what we asked for. The bid required 5,000 hours of coverage. Their proposal was less than that. DM Burke Group is out of Flint. We have vetted the company. It would be new to the region. They provide services throughout the state. All the reference checks were very favorable. They are breaking into the market. There was some question on the amount that they were charging and the percents that they were charging. At the end of the day, when you put the two numbers together, our request or our responsibility is to provide to you a service that meets our bid qualifications at the best price. And the company that we're recommending today, DM Burr, does that. And it's a savings of about $5,600 per year over the current contract, and this contract would be for a five-year term.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Could we have somebody read the motion?
I'll read the motion. I move that the board approve the DM Burr proposal for entry door monitoring and unarmed security guard service for 3 years in the amount of $381,078, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel with the administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
Mr. Chairman?
And we're open to discussion. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I don't think we should be too hasty in this. Not using a computer myself, I usually get a complete hard copy of all the paperwork. And for some reason this month, I did not get any on the current security company. I've got a lot here on the proposed DM Burr. We're being told that it's, I think, roughly $17,000 cheaper. But when I look at the bid amount here, our present security company is bidding $23.28 per hour. And the proposed DM Burr, they're at $24.66, which is more. And also, I'm looking at a letter here, part of the bid from DM Burr, and it has some qualifications in here. It says the pricing does not include the cost for the meetings and trials. The hourly rate for meetings and trials will be $24.66. And if overtime work or, yeah, if weekend work or overtime scheduling is required, the hourly rate will be $36.99, which is quite a bit more. And I would like to say that the company we have right now have been very loyal to the county. They've been here for a number of years, and they've done a good job. And I would like to see this process rebid with these clarifications cleared up.
So, Dave, what do you think about the discrepancy there?
Well, the discrepancy is that in the proposal that was submitted, there was a bill rate from STT of $23.28 for one of the staff. The second staff was at $28.29. So, and again, what the letter that was sent to you is that the proposal was for $2,000 for 2,000 hours for each person. We asked for a total of 5,000 when we do the 10 hours a day and then reduce the amount of holidays when this facility is closed, it comes out to 5,000 hours. So if you were to average the 2338 and the 2829, the average is higher than the other company. So there's two rates there. There's two staff that they proposed. I think it's very clear on the bid, and the bid, if we were to rebid it again, we'd put the same bid on the street.
Chair, I have a question. What's the value of institutional knowledge of the company we have now? I mean, it's hard, I know it's hard to put a value on, but people that have worked with us, they know the building, you know, they know people who come in and out, they know the regulars, they know who should be in here and know who shouldn't, or can figure out who shouldn't real easily, because they already have an encyclopedia in their heads of who belongs here and who doesn't. So, to me, that's valuable as well. It's not just
absolutely
money, you know, but it's like, and do they, and the company we have, I believe, works with you very well and listens. And I'm concerned that there, you know, we got this letter, there's discrepancies between these various things, and it seems confusing when it should have been clear and dry with the RFP. It seems like the DM Burr company is confused about how many hours they have to provide.
Well, actually, they followed what the bid requirement
they
was.
Did? Okay.
So, again, what you have in front of you is one proposal that submitted this information without the total 5,000 hours.
Yeah.
If we were to go back to DM Burr and say, it's not 5,000 hours, it's 4,000 hours, then you're going to have a reduced cost from DM Burr. But that's not what we asked for. When we put bid specifications, we try to be very clear.
Yeah.
Here's what we're required, and you have two different bill rates. One of the things with the staff, this is a decision that we take very seriously. These are contractual employees. They're not Emmett County employees, mm-hmm. but we try to treat them and support them. And we have talked to the new, if this moves forward, both companies, if we move forward, that we have two good employees and we'd like to see our two good contractual employees we'd like to see maintained. Both companies have said that they would do that and reach out to them. So. Again, if we were to rebid this again, it would look very similar to what we've bid here. Institutional knowledge is important, but again, That is something that can be gained, and our requirements is when this contract is up, we must rebid it and put it on the street, mm-hmm. and that's what we do, and that's how we follow the procedures and policies.
And we thank you, the administration, for doing that, just that. You know, we set guidelines on the RMP, and you followed those guidelines. They followed the guidelines, and now there's the discrepancy. The bid falls where it lays.
Yeah, and again, if it is a requirement for whoever gets this bid to provide us two staff within this price range, so that is the requirement. And again, if you, when we go through this, that we are at the discretion of the authorization of the city manager, as my the county administrator, or my designee, to approve the people that we have working here also. So we work very closely with the contractors to make sure that we have the appropriate trained staff here. DM Burr, just like STT, is a large company. They have a lot of resources available. It's always hard to change, and it's always hard to change when we have people. But again, we're following those procedures and policies.
Anybody else want to weigh in on this?
So, Dave, you're saying that DM Bird followed your RP, but SET, I take it, did not.
Well,
the information didn't refer to the format?
Correct. What was proposed, their hourly basis was proposed, as they stated in here, but the way in this memo that was sent out, they proposed to reduce it instead of 2,500 hours per person to 2,000. So they staggered their time. We feel it's important to have two people in the building at all times, when it's open to the public, both for the employee safety and for the people that are coming into the facility. Number one concern is employee safety and public safety.
Anyone else wants to weigh in?
Mr. Chairman, like I said, I haven't seen the final bid for STT Security. I think it should be rebid, and we should ask all bidders to sharpen their pencil.
I think coming from a contractor background, I just don't see that that's the right thing to do. I think we've done the due diligence. The administration have done their due diligence. We've gone forward with the process. We've had the bid process followed through. I think we need to make a decision tonight.
Plus, I think it would be unethical to have to rebid it and ask them to sharpen their and all the, you know, both contractors knew what the rules were, and you can't go back and ask them to sharpen their pencils on it.
I agree.
Okay, any other discussion? We have the motion and the second and the discussion under our belt. Now let's call the roll.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
No.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have the 2024 organizational meeting.
That is just to set the meeting for the 2024 meeting for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2024 at 4:30. I'm trying to jump to January 3rd, 2024 at 4:30 p.m. Sorry.
You know, 6 months ahead. Christmas break.
Yeah. Our fiscal year.
Yes. So again, at that meeting, that is to elect the chair, the vice chair, to set our boards and commissions, and fees and charges.
Okay, could we have the motion?
I'll make that motion, Chair. I move that the board set its 2024 organizational meeting for Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024 at 4:30 p.m. in the Board of Commissioners room, Emmett County Building, 200 Division Street, Petoskey, Michigan, and direct that the county clerk provide public notice of the meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? I'd like to make one comment. It is at 4:30, not 6.
Is that for you or for me?
That's for everybody. Any other discussion? This is a voice vote, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Up next, we have the next board meeting.
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Communications.
Yes. I just want to bowl right on through it here. We're going to open it up for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak at the mic, step forward.
No.
Seeing no one step up, next we have the announcement. The next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held Tuesday, December 19th, which is another change. Normally it's on Thursday. It'll be Tuesday, but it'll be at 6 o'clock. Tuesday, December 19th, 2023, 6 o'clock in this room. Could we have a motion to adjourn?
Also moved.
So moved.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.